Well, good evening, everyone. It is Sunday evening, December 13th, 2020. Thank you for listening to this lesson. We continue this evening with a lesson that we started last week about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel means good news or glad tidings. And the word gospel is found 97 times in the New Testament. And so it's found a number of times, and there are a number of passages which help us to understand it. The basic facts of the gospel are found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6, where Paul talks about the gospel that was preached among the Corinthians, that they had received and wherein they had been saved. He talks about the gospel is the death, the message of the death and the burial and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, and how that he appeared unto many, up to 500 brethren at one time, to the apostles, to Peter, to Cephas, to James. And he says, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. And so the gospel is good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. We noticed in our lesson last week that the gospel is called a number of things in Scripture, 8, in fact, that I can find. It's called the gospel of God. It's called the gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of salvation. It's called the gospel of peace. It's called the glorious gospel and the eternal gospel. Tonight we want to talk about the gospel of grace. The gospel is said to be the gospel of grace. The word grace is found even more times. We said the word gospel was found 97 times in the New Testament. The word, the Greek word for grace, is found 156 times in the New Testament. Most of the time, 130 of those times, it's translated grace, although sometimes it's translated favor or thanks. And it is a common word in the Greek language. It just simply means a gift or a free gift or favor. Sometimes we say unmerited favor, goodwill. Maybe unmerited favor is redundant because a favor is unmerited. If someone does you a favor, that's the meaning of the word favor. It's not deserved. It's something special that they do for you. And so grace is goodwill, loving kindness, favor, unmerited favor. The gospel is called the gospel of grace in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, we see the passage where Paul was speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He had met them in Miletus and given them final instruction before he continued on with his journey. And he says there in verse 24, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul is speaking to these elders, and he is reminding them of the work that he did among them, and his determination to just simply preach Jesus and nothing else. He tells them that he is going to Jerusalem, not knowing what would befall him, but the Holy Spirit telling him that bonds and afflictions await. But he said that he did not consider his life to be dear to himself, but he was determined to finish his course and to continue to declare the gospel of the grace of God. Of all men, Paul was very aware and thankful for God's grace and mercy, undoubtedly because he had persecuted the church, and felt so thankful, so grateful to God for God's mercy in appearing to him and calling him to a special work. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant, with faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. So Paul was so thankful for God's grace. He was so thankful for God's mercy because of his persecution of the Lord Jesus, his persecution of God's people, arresting them, voting against them even unto death, casting them into prison. Because of that violent past, because of the exceeding sinfulness of his behavior, Paul was thankful for God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. But who among us should not also be thankful for God's grace and God's mercy and forgiveness? We may not have been violent persecutors as Paul was, but we're all guilty, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's where we want to begin our lesson tonight. We're going to talk about 4 points quickly. And the first point is God's grace is good news because. That's going to be the theme of our lesson. God's grace is good news. That's what the gospel means, good news. God's grace is good news because, first of all, we are dead in our sins and separated from God. We could only be saved by God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, let's read in the Bible there. There Paul writes, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his kindness, his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." Notice their former condition. They were dead in their sins, dead in trespasses and iniquities. They were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. They were children deserving of wrath. The Bible teaches us that sin separates us from God. That's the predicament that we are in. That's why we should be so happy about the good news of God's grace. We are lost, we are separated from him. God cannot have fellowship with sin. God and sin are like oil and water, they just do not mix. In Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, Isaiah talks about how that our iniquities have separated between you and your God. He says that God's hand is not too short that it cannot save, and his ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear. It's not anything on God's fault, no problem with God's doing that has separated us from him. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God. Sin becomes like a huge wall between us and God. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all turned aside." In this section of the book of Romans, Paul, of course, has been talking about and laying condemnation at the feet of both the Jews and Gentiles. All have sinned. He says in chapter 1 that the Gentiles had sinned. Then in chapter 2, he takes aim at the Jews and talks about their sinfulness and their hypocrisy and how that they had caused God's name to be blasphemed. And he summarizes in these verses that he puts together from the Old Testament Psalms and Isaiah and says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that is deserving. There are none that have done right. There is none that can save themselves." In verse 23, he summarizes by saying, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And so, God's grace is good news because we're in quite a predicament. We are lost in sin, and without God's grace and God's mercy, we would be separated from Him for eternity. But God was merciful, as we read in this passage in Romans and in Ephesians chapter 2. God was rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us. And that's our second point. The gospel, God's grace, is good news because His grace is abundant. His grace is abundant. And so he says here in Ephesians 2, verse 4, that God was rich in mercy for His great love wherein He loved us. God was rich in mercy. Now look at both of those words. First of all, mercy. Mercy is like compassion or pity. Compassion or pity, the word compassion and pity in the New Testament, in our English language, pretty much synonyms. But it has to do with a feeling. Compassion or pity is the feeling you have towards someone's predicament. But mercy is more than that. Mercy is an action. Vine says that mercy is the outward manifestation of pity. For example, you might see something on the news, something that happened to someone, some terrible event or death that happened in someone's family. Children who are starving by the hundreds of thousands in a land far away. You may have pity in your heart and compassion. You may have feelings about that situation, but you may not have the money or the situation wherein you can help in any way. You can't show mercy. You cannot get them out of their situation. You can feel something for them, but you're helpless to act and to help them. Mercy is the action. Mercy is the ability not only to feel compassion, but also to do something. And God did something. God was rich in mercy. He says in this passage, God was rich in mercy. We know what riches are. Bill Gates is rich. Other individuals in our country in the big tech industry are rich. Others in the oil industry are rich. The banking industry are rich. That means they have lots of money. Sometimes we use the word rich like in the phrase, "Alaska is rich in natural resources." That means they have lots of natural resources. Sometimes we say that dessert was very rich. That means it had lots of sugar. It tasted very, very, very sweet. And so rich is an abundance of something. God was rich in mercy. God didn't just have a little mercy. He didn't just sprinkle a little mercy towards mankind. But God was abundant in His mercy. There's enough for everyone. Not just a few. It's not like some sales that stores have where there's only 25 items per store and you go and they're already gone. There was a sale, but you didn't get there in time. There was not an abundance of merchandise. There was just a little bit. But God is rich in mercy. He's abundant in His mercy. All who desire to come to Him can. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says that those who desire, He desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God who desires all men to be saved. God wants all to come, and God has made provisions available through Jesus Christ, that's good news. God's grace is good news because it's abundant. No one will be left behind who wants to come to Him. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Point 3, God's grace is good news because it is a gift and it's free. It's abundant, but it's also free. Some products in this world are in abundance. Lots of cars out there in the used car lot. Lots of cars on the new car lot. There's plenty of cars, but they're not free. They cost you something. With God's grace, it's not only abundant, but it's free. It's free. It's a gift. The gift of God's grace. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. We read that from Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace have ye been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's the gift of God. We know what the word gift is. It's something that's given freely. It doesn't cost you anything. It's there for the taking, for the asking. And so, by grace, it is the gift of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. And the gift of his Son is connected to that gift of grace, the forgiveness, the salvation that is possible through his Son. God's gift was given unilaterally and unconditionally. No one is forced to receive the grace. No one's arm is twisted. No one spends hours begging him. God has given his grace freely. Now there's something we must do to obtain that grace, but it's been given freely and unconditionally. Our reception is not unconditional, but the gift is unconditional. He chose us. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 13, talk about the fact, verse 3, that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He has foreordained us into adoption as sons, verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will, verse 5, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved, verse 6. In Christ is redemption. In Christ is forgiveness. It is given freely. There is no way you can earn it. Ephesians 2 again, verses 8 through 10 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works that any man should glory. We cannot ever do the good works. We cannot ever do the things that we would need to do to have the redemption and the forgiveness. We cannot earn it, but there is something we must do to receive it. The conditions of salvation is different than earning something, as in God's grace. Well, let's go to the last point. God's grace is good news because it's so simple. It's not complicated. The gospel message, what God tells us to do, as we just said, God's grace is given freely. It's a free gift. But there are conditions attached, and obeying conditions and keeping conditions does not mean that one has earned it in any way. We could give a lot of examples of that, but just because conditions are attached to something does not mean that it has been earned. I could tell you that I have a gift for you in the trunk of my car, but it's very heavy. It's a big old country ham, and my back is not very good, but I bought it at the store, and if you want it, you can have it for free, but you're going to have to go out in the car and get it and lift it, because my old back, I just can't lift it. And so you take my keys, and you go out, and you get in my trunk, and you take that ham home. It's a gift. Now, you had to do something. You had to meet the conditions. You had to go and take my keys and open the trunk and take the ham and put it in your car and take it home. Those were the conditions, but it wasn't earned, and you understand it wasn't earned. It was still a gift. The gospel is a gift, but there are conditions attached to the gift. But the fact that we must obey him, Hebrews 5:9 says, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. The fact that God has laid down conditions for our obedience to receive his grace does not mean we earn it. Not in one iota, not one bit. Thankfully, the gospel of Christ is not complicated. The gospel of grace is good news because it's so simple. It is so simple. If we don't complicate it with the teachings of men, if we don't complicate it with the traditions of men, God's good news is so simple. It doesn't take an educated person. It doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to understand the Bible. In fact, it was so simple that some, Paul talked about this, some even scoffed at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. To the Jews, they didn't want to listen to it. And yet, to those who believe, it is the power of God. It is the salvation. And so the gospel is simple, it's straightforward, it's uncomplicated. In the gospel, we see that we're simply instructed to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus said, except we accept who he is as God's Son, we have to have that kind of level of faith in him. Not just faith that he was a person, that he actually lived at some point, but that he was the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. Jesus came claiming to be the Christ of God, the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what we must believe about him, that he is unique in all the world and that he is the Savior of the world, that he is God's Son. Secondly of all, we must be ready to repent of our sins. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He was telling and reminding the Jews about some other Jews who had perished. And he says, unless you believe, except you repent, you will likewise perish. God's wrath someday will be poured out upon those who do not repent. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as we talked about earlier. All of us are deserving of God's punishment. But God has offered mercy and grace and forgiveness to those who will come to him and come to his Son and accept it. But we must be willing to turn from our sins. We must be willing to say, I'm sorry, and repent and change our lives. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when the people there asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter answered, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Repent. Turn from your sins. Express your sorrow for your sins. Be willing to confess the name of Jesus. That's the third point. So we must believe in him. We must repent of our sins. And we must confess the name of Jesus. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. We must be willing to confess. We must not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And we must be willing to confess his name before men in this world. And number four, we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16:15-16. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not too difficult to understand. God's grace is good news because it's so simple. Just believe in the Lord Jesus. Turn from your sins. Confess the name of Jesus as your Lord and your Master. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. As we said from Acts 2, verse 38, Peter told the multitude on that occasion, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. God's grace is good news. God's grace is good news. It's good news because we were dead in our sins and hopeless. It's good news because there's abundant grace for all. There's forgiveness for all who will come to Him. It's good news because it's a free gift. You cannot earn it. You don't have to work hard to receive it. But you do have to obey the gospel plan that's been laid out. But it's simple. It's uncomplicated. It's straightforward. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Thank you for listening this evening. Have a great week, everyone. We will see you next Lord's Day. Bye-bye for now.